job. I still yearn to please my dad. He's my daddy. There's nothing else I would rather do than to please him in some way, shape, or form. And I knew as good as I'm standing here, I told Stacy, we've got to get them Reese cups. I know he's going to be pleased with them. And you just recently finished them off. They're gone with the wind. One a day. Say that to a Loveless, huh? Hey, we're not promised tomorrow, so why wait, you know? So as much as that motivates me in many of my actions and even inaction, there's still a greater desire to please not just my wife, but to please my Heavenly Father. Because one of these days, you and I are going to stand face to face with God. And God's going to look at your life. He's going to look at all the hours we spent on Facebook doing nothing. He's going to look at all the hours we spent playing games. I remember when I got my PlayStation 2. I loved Mega Man. I had Mega Man on Nintendo. I had it on Atari. But then I got it on PlayStation 1 and I got those and brought them over to PlayStation 2. And so I got Mega Man Legends 2. And boy, howdy, I spent hours upon hours upon hours upon hours to beat that game. And I beat it. I even saved it. So nowadays, and it's been probably 8 years since I've even looked at it, you go back and beat the final boss and just play through the end. But in the end, in God's kingdom, that's not going to do me or him any good. It's just wasted time. Every one of us has time that we use or that we don't use for God's glory. And so we might wonder, okay, well, if what I'm doing here doesn't please God and what I'm doing there doesn't please God, Brother Craig, what can I do to please the Lord? Does the Bible say? Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, God takes pleasure in His Son. There's scripture for all of these things. God takes pleasure in His people. He takes pleasure in the prosperity of His people. You get that? God loves to make you prosper. God takes pleasure in working in His people. He takes pleasure in calling men to preach. He takes pleasure in saving the lost through preaching. He takes pleasure in setting members throughout the body. But I want to show you three things tonight. Three things this evening, as we're here together, looking at things that please God. That's the name of our sermon, Things That Please God. Look at John chapter 8, verse 28 and 29. John chapter 8, verse 28 and 29. That's where we're going to springboard tonight in the few moments we have left together. There are going to be 3 points. There will be a couple of sub-points here and there. But I want you to see what you can find in your life that can please God. Because, God, it is our hope that we will hear God say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But here's the kicker of that. We have to have done something for God to say, "Well done." We also have to have been dedicated and faithful to Him for Him to say, "Good and faithful servant." I fear that there's a lot of Christians that are going to stand before God and God's not going to be able to say, "Well done." Because what they did was nothing but self-service. What they did was nothing but live for themselves and make themselves happy. And they can't. And He won't say faithful because they weren't faithful to anything but themselves. But they'll be in heaven. So I don't want you to miss out on hearing God say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I want you to hear that. But all I can do is lead you to the water. I can't make you drink. Same thing, vice versa. It's all our decisions what we do. Every one of us is super rich when we hit 12 midnight, if we make it to the other midnight. But here's the thing. Every one of us is going to spend that time differently. Every one of us. So what you do with your time, ultimately, that's between you and God. But remember this, as we talked about sin, there's consequences. There's going to be consequences. God's going to look. How many of you have ever been through a review at work? Didn't you go through one recently? Semi? It's where they look at your work and they say, well, you did good here, you didn't do too good here, and you might get a raise, you might get this. Not yet. Okay. You got it coming down the line. So all of us, pretty much almost all of us, have been through some type of review. You know, you kind of sweat bullets a little bit. You kind of might get a little jittery because the boss man or the boss lady's there. And now they're going to review what you have done. Been there, done that. But get this, God, the God of all creation, is going to look at your life and mine. You say, well, look what we got here. I hope we pleased him when it's all said and done. All right, look at verse 28-29. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Notice what Jesus said. I do always those things that please him. I cannot say that. I don't always do the things that please my Father. But I want to. So let's see what we can tonight together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for your holy and precious word. Lord, I ask now that you'll hide me behind the cross. Lord, anoint these lips of clay that they may speak forth your truth. And Father, stir our hearts from your word. In Christ's name, amen. All right, first of all, number one, let's look at this. We have the directive to please him. Number one, we have the directive to please him. In other words, this is not an if, and, or but. This is something God has directed. He has commanded us. We're supposed to do. He expects us to do this. Now, we have subpoint, letter A, we've got the example. Now, what is the example? We say, well, Jesus. Well, obviously, Jesus. But let's go before Jesus. The Old Testament saints, they pleased the Lord. How do we know that? They had the capability of pleasing the Lord because Hebrews 11:5 tells us. Like Enoch, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. That's in the Old Testament. That's before they ever had the Holy Ghost. Hey, if somebody that didn't have the Holy Ghost yet believed in God, if they could please God, you know what that tells me? That tells me that you and I who do have the Holy Ghost, we ought to be plumb able to please the Father. Enoch chose to. If Enoch could, why can't we? We can. So we have the example. Any of them Old Testament saints, just look back at them and you can see how they lived their lives. And in many cases, you'll find over and over and over, they did things that pleased God. Subpoint B, the expectation. Now, what is the expectation? Well, last time I looked, every one of us in here, when we got saved, we became a part of the Lord's army. You probably remember that little old song. I might not ever fight in the infantry or, you know, swim in the fire of the artillery or something like that. I can't remember it all now. My mind, it leaves me. You might be in the Air Force, but that's the thing. But I will be a soldier in God's army. I will be a soldier in God's army. Listen to what he said. 2 Timothy 2:4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So we have something right there that we have before us, that God has given us very plainly as a soldier in his army, the expectation. God expects us to be good soldiers. I'm going back through the band of brothers right now. And they went through boot camp. Why? Because the army expected them to do certain things when they were told. When a lieutenant or a captain came up, a major, or even a sarge, even sergeant came up and said, Private, go over here to there. It was expected of them that they do not. Not just say, well, I don't want to. Yeah, you try that out and see how far you get. In the Air Force, the Marine, the Army, the SEALs. The Navy, the Air Force, whoever. You're not going to get very far. You're going to pay the consequences. We got some here who've been there and they've seen it happen. We're in God's army. And God has expectations upon every one of us. And no. You don't get to say, I'm too young. Sorry, guys. That's out. Because God tells the young one, be thou an example of the believer. Y'all are supposed to be showing us old heads, no offense, I'm including myself there, of how we're supposed to live. How you dress, how you talk, how you do your activity, whatever it is. You're supposed to be setting a role model, an example to us. Believe that? Yes, that's what the Bible says. And you can't say, well, preacher, I'm too old. No. Yeah, I don't care if it's 90 or 80 or 70 or 60 or 50 or 42 or whatever age you are. I will not disclose that classified information. Anyway, I learned. Never ask the lady her age, right? Anyway, and so that's what we find out, that regardless, God expects all of us still to serve Him. I don't get to retire from this in God's eyes. When do I get to retire? When God calls me home. So that's the thing. Look at Noah. Noah was in his 600th year when he was building the Arkies. None of us have reached 600 yet. So last time the calendar years may tick away, but our service to God is here to stay. And the fact that God ain't called you home yet, the fact that you're still breathing, it means God's not done with you yet. There's so many here, they wonder, why am I still here? I ain't doing nothing but just taking up space. No, you're not. You're an important part of God's family, of God's army. God's got a purpose for you. God's got a plan for you. You say, well, what is it? I'm not God. I don't know, but I know who does know. God knows. You need to get in touch with Him. You need to talk with Him a little bit. And He might just tell you what it's all about. I mean, how many of these guys and gals have you looked at, you know, in the business world? You know, they've done this, they failed. They've done that, they failed. They've done that, they failed. They've done that, they fell flat on the face. But then when they're 60 or 70 years old, bam, they hit something and then the doors open. Look at Ray Kroc. Look at Dave Thomas. Look at Colonel Sanders. He's in his 70s for crying out loud. And he takes chicken, and he makes a worldwide empire out of it. Look at Mr. Truett Cathy. He says, we didn't invent the chicken sandwich, but we just improved it. Chick-fil-A, one of the fastest growing chicken empires in the whole country. It's amazing to see what people have done in the business world. And they were older heads. And they were successful. Orville Redenbacher. I think he was in his 70s too. And then he made a new brand of popcorn and he started selling it. And now his face is everywhere. Where the it's good. You eat it sometime. Anyway, that's the thing. You find out that the brand survived the inventor. Amazing. And you know what the great thing of this is that we have a God who promises in His Word that if we wait on Him, He'll give us strength, His strength. Wow. Alright. Number two, the deeds that please Him. Alright, preacher, tell me some things that will please God. So let's hit them. I'll give you several of them right here. Number two, the deeds that please Him. So remember, we're told here, Jesus Himself says, I have done all things that please my Father. Well, Jesus, if you do that, tell me, as a spiritual lower brother, tell me what we can do to please the Father. All right, so here we go. Please Him with our walk. Please Him with our walk. That's Colossians 1:10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. In other words, how you live your life should be pleasing unto the Lord. You say, well, what's that? Well, weigh it out. If I tell this lie, is that pleasing to God? If I do this, is that pleasing to God? If I wear this, if I think this, if I go there, if I do this thing with my friend, is this going to be pleasing to God? All it takes is for you to either remember to ask or just wear the bracelet. WWJD. What would Jesus do? And you know what? If you think Jesus would do this, do it. If you think Jesus would not do it, then don't do it. Would Jesus drink to get drunk? No. Would Jesus drink? Well, the Bible says he drank wine here and there. That's debatable about different things. Let's move on. Would Jesus smoke? I doubt it, because it harmed the body. Would Jesus do pot? I doubt it. It harmed the body. I mean, what idiot goes over and says, I think I'm just going to breathe smoke into my lung? Normally when that happens, you get damage in your lung. You know. All right. I think I'm going to go do heroin. I think I'm going to go do crack. I think I'm going to go do cocaine. I think I'm going to go do methamphetamine. Do you think Jesus would do that? Nope. Not at all. So why are these idiots doing it? Because they're not pleasing God. They're pleasing themselves. I better stop doing that because somebody might freeze it and say, oh, look, he's doing Heil Hitler anyway. Ha! That's not pleasing to God. So anyway, move along. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Amen. All right, so there's the thing. Would Jesus do these things? I don't think he would. Would Jesus lie? No. Would Jesus cheat? No. Would Jesus go to the strip club? No. Would Jesus watch that program on television? What was it the preacher said, Daddy? He said, would Jesus come down in your house and sit down and watch that TV show or that movie right there with you? People say, no, he wouldn't do that. Well, guess what? Too bad, because he's already watching with you, because he dwells inside of you and he's already looking outside your peepers. Would Jesus say cuss words like the F-bomb, the D-word, the S-word, and all the other words? I don't believe he would. Yeah, could Jesus hang out with you? That's the thing. Look inside your life and see how you are. That's hard to do, because we like to think the best of ourselves. And then ask that, would Jesus hang out with you? Is it pleasing? What are you doing? If Jesus would do it, go for it. And you know it will be pleasing to God. Number two, the next one. Please Him by sharing the gospel. There's a big one. We talked about that already. Please Him by sharing the gospel. 1 Thessalonians 2:4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. So it pleases God we share the gospel. So let's do it. Grab you a handful of gospel tracts on the way out tonight. Come up here and say, preacher, I want some of them little Monopoly looking cards. I'll give you a whole handful of them. They're not doing any good here. They're not. What good is the seed of marigold? What's your favorite flower? I done forgot. Roses? Tulips? Irises? Lilies? Whatever they are. Okay, Iris, all right. So if we get seeds or little plants, they're not going to do any good if we don't plant them so they can grow. Not going to do anybody any good. It doesn't do the kingdom of God any good for us to have all these gospel tracts and sit here and gather dust. Not do any good. Next one. Please Him by obeying your parents. Now, some of you, this is not going to apply because your parents have moved on to heaven. You say, well, I'm too old. Well, if you're too old out of the house, you can substitute and say, please God, by honoring your parents. I try to honor my daddy, but he gives me advice. Sometimes it goes in one ear and out the other, like it did when I was when I was little. Other times, I say, that sounds pretty good. He's right. He's smarter than me. He's more wise than me. I think I'll put that to practice. That's the thing. But please Him by obeying your parents. Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. I'll latch that one on to my youngins in 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th grade, 11th, and even 12th grade. Because every one of them are still at home under the parents' roof. And they get to that point where they want to buck authority. You know what? If you want to buck the authority, then you get a job, you make your money, you go move out, and you pay your own bill. Because you remember that other version of the golden rule? He that hath the gold maketh the rule. 1 Opinions 5:21. You don't remember that book in the Bible? I must have been reading the Craig version. But anyway, that's the thing. I told both of them when they became part of all of us a family, I said, my expectation is that you come to church. Because everybody that lives in the Lovelace household, as a pastor, I expect them to be in God's house. If the day ever comes that they decide I don't want to do that, then by all means, get the wherewithal. And I love you, and I'll never desert you, but that's my rule. Because I'm held accountable to this church that I have to have my family in order. That's one of the things in 1 Timothy about a pastor's duties. Because if I cannot, now these young men are 18 and 21. They're adults in the eyes of the world. But under our house, they're still our children. And I love them both dearly. You know, I used to, when it was new, I said, yeah, they're my stepson. I said, step? I don't like to step if I can help it. I said, they're my sons. I'm proud of the young men these are. And we should all be proud of our children. Maybe not every decision they've ever made. Daddy, are you proud of every single decision I've ever made? No. Exactly right. And no parent worth their salt would say otherwise. Amen. That's right. Yes. But you do your best. But that's the thing. This is on them to obey their parents. Why? Because it pleases God. Now, if Stacy were to come up and say, why don't you go out to Dollar General and steal 5 loaves of bread? I'm not throwing you under the bus. Or if I were to come up and say, go out there and steal 12 loaves of bread, they're not supposed to do that. Because that, it goes against God's word and God's commandment. So there are sometimes parents say to do things that are not right, and that's where you disobey in that regard. But if the commandment is, lines up with the word, that there's nothing wrong between it and God's word, obey. And that's the hardest, one of the hardest things to do, ain't it? You remember when you got a certain age and you started being able to make your own decisions and do your own things, and mom and dad were breathing down your neck about certain things, and you wanted to rear back and do your own thing? That's where the loggerheads come in, and that's where the battle is, many times. But guess what? We've been doing this thing ever since Cain and Abel was born. And that's the way it's all been run all these thousands of years. I got to hurry up. I'm out of time. Last one here. Please Him by magnifying and praising His name. Please Him by magnifying and praising His name. Miss Deborah, do you sing a hymn about every day? Anybody else, when you're driving around, do you just suddenly bust out and start singing? I do. Well, guess what? You can come sing in the choir. Yeah, how about that? Maybe when you're home by yourself, you just start singing, praising the Lord. Or maybe you get so excitable about something, you start singing out. I'll never forget when I contacted Heather on Yahoo Personal. She'd been watching me for a week and didn't do a thing. And then when I said, greetings and salutations, the nerd self that I am. When she got that icebreaker, that message, she said that she busted out singing, praise God from whom all blessings flow. And I said, well, how about later after you got to know me, did you still sing it? She said, yes, dear, I did. I said, well, how about that? Somebody actually likes hanging around me. And now I got another one that likes to do the same. As long as I'm asleep, you know. Anyway, but yeah. So we need to praise our Maker. We need to praise Him. Let me give you a verse or two. Psalm 69, 30 and 31. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock or that hath horns and hoof. Do you hear what the psalmist just said? He said that if I just praise God with my mouth, God is more pleased than if I were to bring an offering and give it to Him. Ain't that amazing? But yet we let our selfishness and our self-centeredness and our different ideas, I can't carry a tune in a bucket. I can't sing good. Everybody will be offended if I sing. But yet God doesn't say anything like that. You know what He says? You know what He says. David, come on up. He says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I tell you right now, we used to have a young lady that her and her family came here, and she'd come up and amen. Anyway, she made a joyful noise to the Lord. And some people said, you know, I don't sound too good. I said, but to the ear of God it does. Because the heart, the mouth, the key, the note might have been off in Timbuktu, but the heart was in the right place. And that's why this pastor didn't say, well, you know what? No, you don't need to sing this week. No. Mm-mm. I would sit here, I mean, you could probably pull up videos that's still out there, and I'd smile right along with it, because I knew her heart was in the right place. And I don't care if you sound like a cat that's dying being run over by a bulldozer. I don't care if that's how you sound. You need to open up and let that cat meow and yowl for the glory of God. Third point, and then we're done. Almost done. The third point is the dividends of pleasing Him. The dividends of pleasing Him. You say, okay, preacher, I'm going to give up most of my life and what I like to do and my fun and my this and my that. And what am I going to get in return if I please the Lord with everything that I do? Two things. And you know what? I don't know about you, but these are two very important things. Two sub-points. What do you get by pleasing Him? What are the dividends of pleasing Him? Here they are. Number one, peace is achieved. Peace is achieved. You say, how do you know? Proverbs 16:7. Listen, when a man's ways please the Lord, He maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. You want peace? Please God. Two, prayers are answered. Not only do you have peace achieved, but you have prayers are answered. 1 John 3:22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. So you want your prayers answered? I'd start pleasing Him. You want peace in your life? I'd start pleasing Him. That's the dividend of pleasing Him. And I don't know about you, but in this day and age, peace matters a lot to this old boy. A lot. If you want peace, please your Heavenly Father. How do you please Him? Do deeds that please Him. We gave you a little list there. But then we also noticed something else. That there was a directive to please Him. God expects that of us. Well, folks, I've went over again. I apologize. I got next week. Maybe I'll hit it like I did the first time and get us out of here about the bottom of the hour. So with that said, I hope tonight's message has been a blessing to your heart and that you've gotten something out of it. And I want to say again, thank you to Pastor Stacy for that good outline. And brother, if you're watching, I appreciate it. And you use one of mine sometime. Pay it back. Pay it forward. So, with that said, let's bow our heads. We'll close our eyes. The live feed's going off. The mic's going off to give you...